ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಅಥಾತೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸಾ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯತಿಕರಣಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯತಃ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಯೋನಿತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಯೋನಿತ್ವಾತ್ ಸಮನ್ವಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ತತ್ತು ಸಮನ್ವಯಾತ್ ಈಕ್ಷತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ ಈಕ್ಷತೇಹೇ ನಾಶಬ್ದಂ ಗೌಣಶ್ಚೇನ್ನಾತ್ಮಶಬ್ದಾತ್ ತನ್ನಿಷ್ಟಸ್ಯ ಮೋಕ್ಷೋಪದೇಶಾತ್ ಖೇಯತ್ವ ಅವಚನಾಚ್ಚ ಸ್ವಾಪ್ಯಯಾತ್ ಗತಿಸಾಮಾನ್ಯಾತ್ ಶ್ರುತತ್ವಾಚ್ಚ ಆನಂದಮಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಆನಂದಮಯ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸಾತ್ ವಿಕಾರಶಬ್ದಾನ್ನೇತಿ ಚೇನ್ನ ಪ್ರಾಚುರ್ಯಾತ್ ತದ್ದೇತು ವ್ಯವತೇಶಾತ್ ಮಾತ್ರಾವರ್ಣಿಕಮೇವ ಚ ಗೀಯತೆ ನ ಇತರ ಅನುಪಪತ್ತೈಃ ವೇದವ್ಯವದೇಶಾಚ್ಚ ಕಾಮಾಚನ ಅನುಮಾನಾಪೇಕ್ಷಾ ಅಸ್ಮಿನ್ನಸ್ಯ ಚ ತದ್ಯೋಗಂ ಶಾಸ್ತಿ ಅಂತರಧಿಕರಣಂ ಅಂತಸ್ತದ್ಧರ್ಮೋಪದೇಶಾತ್ ವೇದವ್ಯಪದೇಶಾಚ್ಯಾನ್ಯಃ ಆಕಾಶಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಆಕಾಶಸ್ಥಲ್ಲಿಂಗಾತ್ ಪ್ರಾಣಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಅತಯೇವ ಪ್ರಾಣಃ. ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ 23rd ಸೂತ್ರ. ಅತಯೇವ ಪ್ರಾಣಃ. ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ವರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಎ ಕೊಟೇಶನ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶತಪಥ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಂ ಆಫ್ ಶುಕ್ಲ ಯಜುರ್ವೇದ ಪಯ್ಯ ಪೂರ್ವ ಪಕ್ಷಿ ಟು ಅಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಅವರ್ ವ್ಯೂ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಆಸ್ ಈಶ್ವರ. ಅಂಡ್ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷಸ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಪೂರ್ವ ಪಕ್ಷಿಸ್ ಕೊಟೇಶನ್ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ಅಪ್ರಾಪ್ರಿಯೇಟ್. ಪ್ರಾಣ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ದಿ ವ್ಯಷ್ಟಿ ಕರಣ ಸೃಷ್ಟಿ ಲಯ ಕಾರಣ ಪ್ರಾಣ, ಬಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸಮಷ್ಟಿ ಕಾರಣ ಸೃಷ್ಟಿ ಪ್ರಾಣ. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ಅಡಿಷನ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಇಸ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಇಸ್ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ಅನತರ್ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಕೌಶೀತಕಿ ಉಪನಿಷತ್. ಪ್ರಾಣೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮೇತಿ ಹಸ್ಮಾಹ ಕೌಶೀತಕೀ ತಸ್ಯ ಹವಾ ಏತಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಾಣಸ್ಯ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಃ. ದೇರ್ಫೋರ್ ದಿ ಜನರಲ್ ರೂಲ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್, ವೆನ್ ಎವರ್ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೆಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಸರ್ವ ಕರಣ ಸೃಷ್ಟಿ ಲಯ ಕಾರಣಂ, ಕರಣ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಎಕ್ವಿಪ್ಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್, ಪ್ರಾಣ ಇಸ್ ಪಂಚ ಪ್ರಾಣ. But when it is presented as sarva prapancha srishti sthiti laya karanam, in all those places prana is brahman alone. So the pancha prana cannot be absolute srishti sthiti karanam. And what is the reason? Because pancha pranas themselves are a karyam, they themselves are an effect. Therefore, how can it be the resolving ground of all other karyams? For example, if you take a pot cannot be a resolving ground of a jug. A bangle cannot be a resolving ground of a chain. One karyam cannot be a resolving ground of another karyam. Therefore, the absolute resolving ground can be Brahman alone, because Brahman is not a karyam. Brahman is not an effect. It is the causeless cause. Okay. Then the final question is, when you take prana as Brahman, because of Brahma Lingam, the indicators which we spoke about in the last class, aren't you giving up the primary meaning of the word prana? And aren't you taking the secondary meaning? Because always in Shastram, there is a rule, the secondary meaning is weaker than primary meaning. Who says? Purvapakshi says. For that, we give two answers, which are the same as the arguments given in the case of Akasha also, which we saw earlier. What are those two answers? Number one, if the majority of indicators refer to a secondary indicator, we can sacrifice one primary meaning according to the Nyaya, Tyajet Ekam Kulasyarthe. One can sacrifice one member of a family for the sake of the whole family. One can sacrifice a family for the sake of a whole village, sacrifice a whole village for the sake of a country. Similarly, one can sacrifice one primary meaning for the sake of many indicators, like for example sarva srishti karanam, sarva laya karanam and all that. That is first answer. And the second answer is the word prana is taken as vayu vikaraha, pancha pranas. Prana is taken as the breath, primary meaning, taken by the lay people, ordinary people. But prana as Brahman is in the shastras. It is prasiddham in the shastras. It may not be loka rudihi, but shastra rudihi. How do we say so? Again, because we find in the shastra at many places, prana is used for Brahman. For example, we already saw the mantras in Kenopanishad, while defining Atma. There it said, Shrotrasya Shrotram, Manaso Manoyat, Vachoha Vacham, Savu Pranasya Pranaham, Chakshusas Chakshuhum, Atimuchya Dhiraham, Pretya Asma Lokat, Amrita Bhavanti. Pranasya Pranaha, Brahma, it is said. Actually, here there are two pranas. Pranasya, one prana, and another prana. Pranasya is the sixth case. The first prana is the sixth case. And the Prathama prana, that is the second prana, that is nominative case. And the second prana indicates Brahman. So from this it is clear, word prana is Brahman. There is Upanishad quotation itself. Shruti Pramana. Further in the mantra, in the Mundaka Upanishad also we saw earlier, prano hesheyaha sarva bhutair vibhati vijanat vijanan vidvan bhavate nati vadi atma krida atparatihi kriyavane yesha brahma vidam varishtaha pranaha sarva bhutaihi vibhati. Prana alone appears in the form of total creation, sarva bhutaihi. The same Upanishad in another mantra also says, tadetat satyam yata sudiptat Pavakat vispulingaha sahasrashaha prabhavante sarupaha. And also in the second chapter of Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, prana alone appears in the form of total creation. And in the later, in the same Upanishad, it is said, prana alone appears as Brahman. So how to now reconcile these two statements? In the second chapter, it is said, Brahmai Vedam Amritam Purastatam Brahma Paschadam, Brahma Dakshinatahacham, Uttarena, Adascha Urdvancha Prasritam, Brahma Vedam, Vishwamidam, Varishtam. So one statement says Brahman alone is in the form of the entire creation. And in the later portion it says Prana alone appears in the form of whole creation. So in one place Brahman alone appears as whole creation, another place Prana alone appears as whole creation. So the one who realizes he will become liberated, it says all that. So if local prana realization, that is the pancha prana realization, the vayu vikara prana realization, if it can get liberation to someone, why study Vedanta at all? You don't have to do shravana, mananam, nidhyasana, all that. So from this it is clear, Mundaka Upanishad uses the word prana to mean Brahman only. And in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also in the first chapter, fourth section, the famous Anupravesha Shruti. We have seen this also earlier. Prana neva prano nama bhavati vadan vak pashyagum chakshuhu shrinvan shrotram manvano manaha tanyas yaitani karma nama neva. Very clearly said, Brahman enters every body. This is Anupravesha Shruti. Enters every body. Who is breathing, and when one breathes, Atma itself gets the name Prana. Why? Because Prana Adhishtanatvate Prana Nama Bhavati. Thus, in various Upanishads, the Prana is used in the sense of Brahman. Therefore, Shastra Drishtya, from the angle of Shastras, it enjoys the status of primary meaning itself. No more secondary meaning. Therefore, the word prana is Brahman. Okay, there is one more argument also from the Purvapakshi. How is the word prana introduced here? As the devatas of three bhaktis, if you remember the story that I narrated in the last class, that a rishi named Chakrayana, he entered into a yaga of a king, and in that story, this is Prastava Bhakti Devata, Udgita Bhakti Devata, Pratihara Bhakti Devata. all these bhaktis means a portion of Sama mantra, Samaveda mantra. And all these priests did not know the answer for any of those devatas. And Chakrayana, he gave the answer. Prastava Bhakti Devata is Prana. The Udgita Bhakti Devata is Aditya. And the Pratihara Bhakti Devata is Annam. Now the Purvapakshi says, the Udgita Bhakti Devata and Pratihara Bhakti Devatas, they are ordinary devatas. Like Aditya and Annam, namely these two ordinary devatas, familiar devatas, then how can Prastava Bhakti Devata be Prana, be compared to Brahman? The others are only Aditya Devata and Anna Devata. How can you then have this Prastava Devata Bhakti alone to be compared with Brahman? Prana also should be taken as Parichinna Devata only, limited Devata only, when the other two are Parichinna Devatas and not as Brahman. That is his question. Therefore, his argument is Parichinna Devata Sannityatem, because of the proximity of Parichinna Devatas, namely Aditya and Annam, he says Prana Devata also should refer to Parichinna Devata only, limited Devata only. How all these various ways he tries to put arguments, the Purvapakshi. By learning Brahma Sutra, we get to learn these things also, which is called Sampradaya or Mimamsa. In Shastras. So this is called proximity or Sannidhya argument, which means if you talk about something and if there is vagueness of that thing, then based on the meaning of the other word, this word also can be determined. Acharya says Sannidhya argument is weakened here if the indicatory words are stronger. The Linga argument here, Linga means indicator. The Linga argument here is powerful than the Sannidhyam, proximity meaning of Aditya and Annam. How? Because of proximity, if you take Prana as a small devata, like Aditya or Annam, then we cannot explain how that devata can be Sarva Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam. In front of powerful indicator, the proximity argument is set aside. So Prana is Brahman is concluded effectively through these arguments also. Tallingat. Tallingat is because of the Linga indicator. Okay. Now we will present the Adhikaranam in our technical format, because every time we present our Adhikaranam in technical form for conclusion. So we know all the factors. Vishaya Vishayaschaiva, Purvapakshastadottaram, Sangadischedi Panjangam, Shastre Adhikaranam, Smritam. Vishayaha. Vishayaha means a subject matter. The subject matter is what? Prana Shabdaha. The word Prana of Chandogya Upanishad, first chapter, 11th section, 5th mantra. And Samshaya. Samshaya is what? Is the doubt. Whether it refers to Vayu Vikara Prana Pancha Prana or Brahman or Sagunam Brahman or Maya Sagitam Brahman, because it is a Upasana section. You cannot talk about Nirgunam Brahman here, because it is all Upasanas. And the third one is Purvapaksha. Purvapaksha is what? Prana is Vayu Vikaraha Eva. It is only Pancha Prana only. And what is the reason of the Purvapakshi? It is the primary meaning. Prana means that. That alone is powerful than the secondary meaning of Brahma. And not only that, Prana is presented as the Karana Shrishti Stithilaya Karanam of our organs also. That we saw in the last class. Therefore, Prana is Vayu Vikaraha Panja Prana. Then finally, the Siddhanta comes. It is always the Sutra. Sutra is Siddhanta. Pranaha Brahma. Siddhanti also should give his reasons and refute the Purvapakshi also. The reason is Tallingat. We saw this Sutra earlier. Tallingat. Indicators are the Lingas. Being Sarva, Bhuta Srishti, Laya Karanam, Sthiti Laya Karanam. That is possible only when you take Prana as Brahman. No doubt, prana is also the Srishti Laya Karanam of individual organs in Sushupti Avastha. And Prana is not Srishti Laya Karanam of Samashti Prapancha, but the individual Vyashti it is. It is not the Laya Karanam of Akasha itself, Akashat Prana. It is not even the Akashat Vayuhu. It is not even the Laya Karanam of Akasha. Therefore, Purvapakshi's question is not holding waters. Because of this reason, Pranaha Brahmaiva. Brahmaiva means what Brahman? Sagunam Brahma. we are not talking nirguna brahma here at all. Remember, saguna brahma as jagat srishti sthiti laya karanam is also to be established in Brahma Sutra. Brahma Sutra, one should not be thinking, I mentioned in the last class itself, one should not be thinking that Brahma Sutra talks about only nirguna brahma. No. Sarvam jagat srishti sthiti laya karanam also has to be established in Brahma Sutra, saguna brahma. And again, we should note, Ishvara as material cause is the unique aspect of Vedanta, which is not there in Sankhya philosophy, Nyaya philosophy, all those. In the other philosophies, Ishvara is taken as only Nimitta Karanam, instrumental cause. There is no controversy in that at all. But when you take material cause, the Upadana Karanam, they take matter as the material cause, Sankhya and all these people. Consciousness as the material cause of the world is unique feature of Vedanta. Therefore, Vyasacharya is more interested in refuting Sankhya philosophy, and to refute that, Ishvara as Upadana Karanam has to be repeated. Establishing Nirguna Brahman is not going to refute Sankhya's argument. Therefore, Sankhya, being the primary Purvapakshi of Vedanta system, actually Visishtadvaitis and Dvaitis, they are not our Purvapakshis, because they are also Vedantins. Therefore, for Brahma Sutra, primary Purvapakshi is not them. Only when we come to Sagunam Nirgunam Brahma, that split, whenever that comes only, they come in. But here our discussion is what? Ishvara is Kevala Nimitta Karanam or Upadana Karanam also. That is our question. Akashadikaranam also established Ishvara as Upadana Karanam. Pranadikaranam also established Ishvara as Upadana Karanam. We should not ask, the word Upadana Karanam is not said in the sutra here. When we say Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam means Upadana Karanam. Material cause should be there. Therefore, Sankhya philosophy gets refuted in all these Adhikaranams. So with this, the ninth Adhikaranam, a small Adhikaranam also is over with only one sutra. Now let us enter into the next Adhikaranam, next topic, 10th Adhikaranam. It consists of a few sutras, sutras 24 to 27, and it is called Jyotischaranadhikaranam. So sutra number 24, it is Jyotihi Charanabhidhanath. That is a sutra. Jyotihi Charanabhidhanath. Jyotihi means the light, and Charanam means the feet, pada, feet. Abhidhanat means because of the mention of this statement. So this Karanam has four sutras, sutra number 24 to 27. Since it begins with the word Jyotischaranabhidhanat, it is called Jyotischaranadhikarana. And we will take first the general analysis of the whole Adhikaranam, and then we will do the general analysis of the sutra. Here the statement for discussion, the Vishayavakyam, is from Chandogya Upanishad, from the third chapter, 13th section, mantra 7. First, we will see the context of this discussion. So this refers to, then we'll go to the mantra. And this refers to sections 12, 13, and 14 of Chandogya Upanishad in the third chapter. And even though the actual mantra is only the 13th section, 7th mantra, but we have to, the context is set in the other two neighboring sections also. So the subject matter discussed here is what? Again, Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma Upasana. And this Brahma Upasana is prescribed in three different ways. What are those? In the 12th section, Brahma Upasana is presented in the form of Gayatri Chandaha. Gayatri is one of the Vedic meters in which mantras are composed. There are several Vedic meters, Gayatri, Pushnik, Anushtup, Brihati, Pankti, Trishtup, Jagati, all these chandams, see all these various chandas, meters are there, Vedic meters. And each meter has a certain number of lines with certain number of syllables. For example, Gayatri mantra has three lines of 8 syllables each, totally 24 syllables. Mantra is also called Gayatri, and the meter is also called Gayatri. And among the various meters, the Gayatri meter is supposed to be most respected meter, and it is taken to be the mother of all meters. Gayatri Im Chandasam Mata, Mata of all meters. And in the form of this Gayatri Chandas, Chandas means meter. Brahma Upasana is suggested in the 12th section. So Brahma Upasana in the form of Gayatri Chandas, Gayatri meter. Gayatri Rupena, Brahma Upasana. And in the 13th section, we get two topics. And in the first part of the 13th section, we get an upasana called Brahma Purusha Upasana. Not Brahma Upasana, be careful. Brahma Purusha Upasana. All these ideas we give, they are all very relevant for use in all our discussions, even in later discussions also. So the Brahman used in the Gayatri Brahma Purusha, that upasana, is presented as abiding in the Hridayam, in the heart, which is the abode of Gayatri Rupam Brahma, in this upasana. So which Gayatri Rupam Brahma? That is discussed in the 12th section of Chandogya Upanishad. And this Hridayam is like a city with huge palace, and Brahman is the king. This abode, this Hridaya Ayatanam, has five gates or doorways, and each other doorway is taken care of by a security guard. And we have five securities in the form of devatas, and each door manned by one devata. And each devata is called Brahma Purushaha. So each Brahma Purusha is the security guard of each of those gates. Why Brahma Purushaha? Because they are engaged by the master, who is none other than Brahma. So they are Brahma's Purushas, their attendants. So this Brahma Purusha Upasana is to be done, and it is prescribed as an Anga Upasana. Anga Upasana and Angi Upasana we have seen earlier in other Upanishads. Anga Upasana as an organ for the previous main Upasana, the Gayatri Brahma Upasana. So for the Gayatri Brahma Upasana, main Upasana, this is an organ of that Upasana. So the Angi Upasana is Gayatri Rupa Brahma Upasana. The Sangha Upasana is Brahma Purusha Upasana given here. Anga should always be done along with Angi Upasana. So when you do Angi Upasana, Anga Upasana also should be done along with that. They are complementary Upasanas. So the Brahma Purusha Upasana is discussed in the first part of the 13th section of Chandogya Upanishad, chapter 3. And there we also get a second part where another type of Brahma Upasana is given. And this is in the form of Jyoti Rupena Brahma Upasana. So previous one is Gayatri Rupena Brahma Upasana. The next one is Jyoti Rupena Brahma Upasana, or Tejo Rupena Brahma Upasana. Tejo is also Jyoti, Tejas. So now we get two Brahma Upasanas in section 13, Gayatri Rupena and Jyoti Rupena. Then in the 14th section also, Brahma Upasana is given as Sarva Rupena Brahma Upasana or Sarvatmaka Brahma Upasana. It is popularly known as Sandilya Vidya. That also we have seen during our Chandogya discussion, Sandilya Vidya in the 14th section, 7th mantra. Therefore, we have in the 12th section, Gayatri Rupena Brahma Upasana. In the 13th section, Jyoti Rupena Brahma Upasana. And in the 14th section, Sarva Rupena Brahma Upasana, also called Sandilya Vidya. Now we are going to analyze this particular mantra, the 13th section, 7th mantra, 3rd chapter of Chandogya. First, we will see the general meaning. What is the mantra now? Ata yadataha paro divo jyotir dipyate vishvadaha prishteshu sarvataha prishteshu anuttameshu uttameshu lokeshu idam vavata didam asmin antapuruṣe jyotihi. This mantra we have read earlier. So this mantra says Brahma Jyoti is all pervading, which is in the higher lokas, up above, and also within the individual, Sharira Jyotihi. While talking about higher lokas, the Upasana says, Vishvata Prishteshu, Sarvata Prishteshu, Anuttameshu, Uttameshu. It indicates all the higher lokas. from Bhuloka, all the higher lokas, which are beyond Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka and all that thing. And beyond all the lower pranis, that is the Brahma Jyoti. And not only it is above all the lokas, it is also within the body. And because of its Jyoti only, body is a live body. Without Chaitanyam, this body will be a dead body and it will not have life at all. So this Jyoti is the Chaitanya. Therefore, the very life experienced in the body is an expression of manifestation of Brahma. And therefore, if one wants to meditate upon the higher Jyoti, one need not look up above, because this higher Jyoti, we don't look up the skies. The very higher Jyoti is available in one's own body. Therefore, meditate upon Brahma Jyoti on the physical body itself. Then the next question will be, how do you feel the presence of Brahma Jyoti in the body? Upanishad gives two clues. It says, when you touch your physical body, you can feel the warmth of life. Even when outside temperature is lower, the physical body is warm. The warmth of life, 98.4 degrees or whatever number it is. And in a dead body, that warmth is not there. They say, what do they say for a dead body? Tanda ho gaya. It's cold, cold body. Thus, number one, aushnya rupena brahma jyoti. He aushnya means ushna. The warmth of life, number one. And number two, the very same jyoti is there in the stomach, in the form of jatara agni, digestive fire. And this is ablaze all the time. How do we know? Every 3 hours for some people, every 2 hours for even one, every 1 hour, you have to fuel the fire to glow. You get hungry, you like eating for one to be alive. And when the fire burns, you can hear the sound of the burning fire also. Upanishad says all that. You can hear the burning of the sound of burning fire. Similarly, in the inside fire also, one can feel the sound. Upanishad says, and how to feel that Jyoti? The Upanishad says, you close your ears in a silent place and turn your attention inwards. You can feel an inner sound. Close your eyes, close your ears completely, and you can see the sound. Similar to a blazing fire. We call it Kadi Arachal in Tamil. You know, that is the sound in the ears. Therefore, in the form of sound and heat, the Brahma Jyoti is available in the heaven, is also available in one's own body. Therefore, it is said, Anuttameshu Uttameshu Yat Divaha Paraha Jyotihi. The Brahma Jyoti, which is in the higher lokas, the heavens, Tat Idam Vava Yadidam Asmin Antapurushe. That very same heavenly Jyoti is available in the Antapurusha, the Sharira. Therefore, in the form of that Jyoti, Jyoti Rupena Brahma Upasanam Kartavyam. Do Brahma Upasana in the form of that Jyoti. This is the actual mantra. Now, actually, I did not give the full mantra because it's a long mantra. So, there are so many details also given. What type of sound comes, like the bellowing of a bull, all kinds of, it's all, we saw all that thing, of course, in our Chandogya discussion anyway. So, various examples are given. Not only that, when one is extremely hungry, special sounds also come. Vishesha Shabdas, they come. Upanishad describes all that. And in addition to that, you hear the Samanya Shabda always heard from the inner body. As I told you, close your ears and you can hear that. So one can just check by closing the ears. This is the Vishaya Vakyam, this is the subject matter. Now the question is, why should this mantra be taken for Vichara at all? Why should we inquire into this mantra? What is the controversy involved here? The controversy is, we clearly say this mantra talks about Jyoti Rupa Brahma Upasanam in the body. Jyoti Rupa Brahma Upasanam in the body. This is our interpretation of this mantra. But what is the problem? In this mantra, word Brahman does not occur at all. only the word jyoti alone is used. How do you conclude jyoti is Brahman? So it talks about jyoti upasana and it does not talk about Brahma upasana at all. Therefore, the question is, how do you interpret jyoti as Brahman? Why can't you take the jyoti as a well-known light, like the Surya Prakasha, Agni Prakasha, Light Prakasha? One can take like that or anything else. Therefore, the word jyoti is light that is effulgent. And why do you give up this primary meaning and take a secondary meaning, namely Brahman? So the controversy is what? Is jyoti, is it an achetana prakasha or like Surya Prakasha or chetana prakasha like Brahman? That is, whether it is a karya prakasha or achetana jyotihi or karana brahma jyotihi. Again, in the third chapter of Chandogya, 7th mantra, 13th section, what is going to be established in all these four sutras? This is the question. These four sutras is establishing that jyotihi brahmaiva is Brahman only. As we said earlier, akasha brahmaiva, prana brahmaiva, prana is Brahman, akasha is Brahman. Same way, we are going to establish that this jyoti also is Brahman. And we need to have sufficient reasons to establish that. And the reasons are given in this Adhikarana. So this is the general analysis of this whole Adhikarana, consisting of so many four slokas, sutras. And all the four sutras talk about the same subject. Yes, the same topic. But now we will take up the first sutra of this Adhikarana. What is that? We just read, Jyotihi Charanabhidhanat. Now, how Vyasacharya approaches this? We have a problem in this section, which we did not face earlier. We could prove prana and akasha is Brahman because special qualities of Brahman were mentioned in that section itself. In the Pranadhikaranam previous section and the previous section, both were mentioned, special qualities were mentioned in the same section itself. And so we could establish prana and akasha as Brahman. We could say akasha brahmalingat, prana brahmalingat, all of them we have said. But here we don't find any quality of Brahman directly mentioned in the 13th section when we talk of jyotihi. Therefore, we have to prove this indirectly only. So what Vyasacharya does? He drops the 13th section for the time being. He says, forget it, set it aside. We have got a lot of monkey job to do, jump from 12th to 14th to 13th, all that, to establish Brahma Upasana. So that itself we have to establish first, because we go back to the 12th section and we have to establish that Brahma Upasana is the subject there. That itself we have to establish, because in the previous 12th section, Gayatri Upasana only was taught. And there also Upanishad does not say Gayatri is Brahman. So our job is to go back to 12th section and establish that Gayatri Upasana is Brahma Upasana only in 12th section. So Gayatri is Brahma. Fortunately, in the 12th section, several qualities of Brahman are mentioned. And therefore, we have sufficient indicators, clues or lingas to establish that Gayatri is Brahma. Tallingat. So we are going to do all that. I am only giving you the route, how we are going to approach this particular question. So having established that in the 12th section, then we say 13th section talks about the same upasana as in the 12th section. We will have to establish this by giving sufficient clues to show that also. The object of upasana in the 13th section is the same as the object of upasana in the 12th section. So 12th upasyam is the same as 13th upasyam. And once we established 13th upasyam is the same and go back to 12th upasyam, 12th section upasyam is Brahman, and then come to prove the jyoti is Brahman, jyoti of 13th section is Brahman. This is the route. So in 12th section, it is said, Gayatri va idagum sarvam. That's what it is said there in the 12th section. Gayatri va idagum sarvam. Gayatri alone is is the various descriptions are given. Edagam sarvam, we will take some details later. But then the glory of Gayatri is presented in the mantra in that section. Tavanasya mahima atojyayagascha purushaha padose vishvabhutani tripadasyamritam divi. This is like a Purushottama mantra. Gayatri has got four quarters. We already saw all that, four padas. The first quarter consists of the entire cosmos or universe. This means what? All the middle and upper lokas, all of them are included. That is samasta prapancha in one quarter. And the other three quarters are beyond this universe and time and space, beyond all of them, which is nirgunam swarupam, nirguna swarupam. Therefore, samasta prapancha, the entire universe, is only 1/4 of Gayatri. And that which is beyond this, that is the nirguna aspect, is the other 3/4. So this glory is what? Is to show that the so-called vast universe that we are seeing, the big universe, occupies only 1/4 of Gayatri. Then how infinite the Gayatri should be to accommodate the other 3/4 also. It is similar to what Vibhuti Yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita, while talking about the glory of the Lord Krishna, he says, I am so vast that the entire universe is but the minutest part of me. Atava abahunaitena kinyatena tavarjuna vishtabhya ahamidam kritsnam ekamshena stito jagat. The whole universe is occupying only a small portion of me. And similarly, Gayatri is infinite and 3/4 are not occupied by Nirguna, and whole universe occupies only 1/4. Others three are beyond Desha and Kala also. And this Gayatri must be meditated upon. That is the two glories, namely the Gayatri which is Sarvatmika Gayatri, Gayatri Vayadagam Sarvam from that statement, and the Chadushpad Gayatri, the Gayatri with 4/4, in which the whole universe is only 1/4 and the other 3 are Nirguna. All these are where? In the 12th section of Chandogya, 3rd chapter. Now we have not come to the main mantra yet. It is in the 13th chapter. We are now dealing with 12th chapter to prove that Gayatri is Brahma. Now the Upanishad has said Gayatri is everything. Gayatri Vayadagam Sarvam, everything. Can this Gayatri be taken as one of the Vedic meters, or Gayatri should be taken as Brahman if this statement is true? Should we take the Vachyartha, the direct meaning, or something else? Our argument is, if it is a Vedic meter, that is a direct meaning of 3 lines and 24 letters, Tripada Gayatri, if you take Chaturvimshatyakshara Tripada Shatpuchihe, how can a Vedic meter be everything? How Gayatri Vayadagam Sarvam it can be if Gayatri is a meter? And in fact, Gayatri meter cannot be even another meter. Gayatri meter cannot be Anushtup meter or Trishtup meter, the different meters. How can we say that this is in the form of the whole universe and the other 3/4 are beyond this? How can you justify all these descriptions if it is taken as a limited meter? Therefore, Sarvatmakatvam, the allness, and Chadushpatvam, are only the 4 padas, are only Brahmalingas, indicators of Brahman, which we find in Mandukya Upanishad. We have seen Soyamatma, Chatushpat, Vishwa, Taijasa, Pragya. The whole universe is only this much, and Turiyam is beyond that. And therefore, that's a topic in Mandukya, Mandukya Upanishad. And therefore, Gayatri is Brahma. Sarvatmaka Rupam, Chatushpatva Rupa Lingat. Because of those indicators, Gayatri is proved to be Brahman in the 12th section. Therefore, Gayatri has been Brahman alone because of the characteristics of Brahma in the form of Sarvatmakatvam and Chatushpatvam. This is the first argument. And the next argument to establish Gayatri is Brahma is what? Based on the Anga Upasana that comes later. This comes in the 13th section, first portion. Gayatri Brahman is abiding in Hridayam with five doorways, and the security guards are what? Brahma Purushas. Now our argument is what? Security guard is called Brahma Purusha, actually, which is a significant name, we should remember Brahma Purusha, because if Gayatri is not Brahman, why should the supporting devatas in the Anga Upasana be called as Brahma Purushas? You have to call by some other name. Instead of using the word Gayatri Purusha, the Upanishad uses the word Brahma Purusha. So Angi Upasana is Gayatri Upasana, and Anga Upasana is the Brahma Purusha Upasana. Angi, Anga Upasanas, and all that I have described earlier. Anga is organs, the organs of Upasana and the main Upasana. Connecting the Angi and Anga, we come to know that Gayatri has to be Brahman. We are still in the Gayatri establishment of Brahman. So if Gayatri is taken as Brahman, then how will it tally now? It will tally very beautifully. Angi Upasana is Brahma Upasana, and Anga Upasana is Brahma Purusha Upasana, and it will perfectly fit. Therefore, Gayatri has got to be Brahman only. So Brahma Upasana and Brahma Purusha Upasana, and thus we have established Gayatri is Brahman. With this, the first part is over. And next, in the 13th chapter itself, the same Brahma Upasana is talked about, and therefore here also the term Jyoti must mean Brahman. That is where we are coming. First we established Gayatri Upasana as talked in the 12th section, and the first part of 13th section is Brahman. And the same Brahman is talked about in 13th section through Jyoti. So Jyoti also should represent Brahma Upasana only. And further we have to establish now what? 12th and 13th sections have got the same object of Upasana. Upasya Vishaya Vakyam. There should be same object of Upasana that we have to establish. That means the Gayatri of the 12th section of Chandogya, 3rd chapter, is the same as the Jyoti of the 13th section of Chandogya, 3rd chapter. So Gayatri Abhinnam Jyotihi. It is not different. Then only we can say this Jyoti is also Brahman. So the topic of the 12th section and the topic of the 13th section, they are identical. Upasya Abedam, no difference in their Upasya Devatas. That we have to show. So how that is done? Shankaracharya gives three reasons for that. The mantra is what? Atayadataha Parodivo Jyotir Deepete Vishwataha Prishteshu Sarvataha Prishteshu Anuttameshu Uttameshu Lokeshu Idam Vava Tadyadidam Asmin Antapurushe Jyotihi. That is the mantra. So the first reason is a grammatical reason. He says, now look at the mantra. We start with what? Ata Yat Ataha Paraha Divaha. That is how it Atayadata Parodivo. That is what it is. Ataha, ata, yata, ataha, paraha, divaha. And that ata, in the beginning, it indicates the upasana. Now, the beginning of this new upasana, and next to that is ata, the upasana uses the pronoun yet. Next to that ata, the upasana, the Upanishad uses what? The term yet. Ata, yadataha, paro. Yet, ataha, paro. It uses the word yatha. So this yatha. And Shankaracharya, he points out, a pronoun can be used only to remind us of the noun talked before. If the Upanishad suddenly says that effulgent principle Jyoti, means that Upanishad assumes that reader knows something that is talked before. That's what he assumes. Otherwise, if Upanishad talks a fresh thing, it will talk of light first and then use the pronoun. But here it doesn't use the word light at all. It says ata only and yat. Because the Upanishad starts with the pronoun ata yat. Therefore, Acharya says the pronoun yat of the 13th section 7th mantra is to remind us of the noun. The Upasyam Brahma. the Gayatri Rupam Brahma. This is the first reason. So that is how that pronoun is put that way. So yadu iti sarvanama abhidanat sarvanamatvate sarvanama prayogate sarvanamam. So then the second reason is what Acharya gives here is, while talking of Brahman in 12th section known as Gayatri Vidya, the Upanishad says tavan asya mahima ato jayagasya purushah padosya vishwabhutani tripadasyam ritam divi amrita tripad asya amritam divi. Divi means swargaloka, and there Brahman associated with swargaloka is indicated in the 13th section by using the word divi. So even though Brahman is supposed to be everything, the Upanishad specifically talks about Brahman associated with swargaloka through the word divi. That word is crucial. We should remember that. That means the Brahman of 12th section has got swargaloka sambandha. Association swargaloka, the Brahman of the 12th section, according to Upanishad. Now, if you come to the 13th section also, where the Upanishad introduces Brahman, it uses the word ata yata ataha paraha divaha. Again, swargaloka divaha. Swargaloka sambandha is indicated here also. The swargaloka sambandha Brahman or Gayatri is indicated in the 12th section. And swargaloka sambandha of Jyotihi is indicated in the 13th section. Therefore, Gayatri and Jyoti must be one and the same. This is the second argument. This is called Pratyabhijna argument. That's the name for this argument. This is called the Pratyabhijna argument or association argument. Just by hearing the word divaha in this section, one's mind should go to the Gayatri Brahma mentioned in the 12th section. Therefore, the first argument is sarvanama prayogatim, and second is dyulokam or swargalokam sambandat. Then one more argument also Shankaracharya gives. In the 12th section, Gayatri Vidya is Brahma Upasana only. And we have already proved by Charanabhidhanatem, Sarvatmakatpat, etc., all those things, there is no doubt now. Then our doubt is what regarding the 13th section, Jyotir Vidya. So Gayatri Vidya, no doubts. It's fine. 12th section is good. 13th section is Jyotir Vidya. And Shankaracharya says, for the time being, forget this section, this Jyotirvidya. He says, go to the next section, 14th section, called Sandilya Vidya. So Gayatri Vidya is good. Jyotirvidya, for the moment, forget it. Go to the 14th section, called Sandilya Vidya. This thing we are going to see in detail later, because Sarvatra Prasiddhi Adhikaranam, there is another Adhikaranam we are going to see in detail. Sarvatram Prasiddhi Adhikaranam, where the Sandilya Vidya we are going to see in detail. There we can clearly prove the Sandilya Vidya of the 14th section is also Brahma Upasana only. So Acharya says, we are able to clearly prove 12th section Gayatri Vidya is Brahma Upasana only. And we are able to clearly prove 14th section Sandilya Vidya is Brahma Upasana also. So controversy is only about the middle topic, Jyotir Vidya, 13th section. And Acharya says, if the previous one is also Brahma Upasana, and later one is also Brahma Upasana, and suddenly, like a jerk, in the middle, some other topic cannot come. So this argument is generally used in Mimamsa Shastra. So everything according to Shastra only, not just some guess. In the Mimamsa Shastra, such topics, such analysis comes, and this is called Samdamshaha Nyayaha. Samdamshaha. Something refers to the tweezers of the tongs. You know, the tongs, between the two tongs, this is held. Between the tongs of the 12th chapter and 14th chapter, the 13th chapter is sandwiched. Therefore, the 13th section, Jyotir Vidya, is caught between the tongs of Gayatri Vidya of the 12th section and Sandilya Vidya of the 14th section. And hence, the middle Jyotirvidya of 13th section also should be Brahman only. That is the argument he gives. And since Gayatri and Jyoti are one and the same, only the symbols are different, so the symbolized is Brahman. symbol is different. Symbolized object is Brahma. So the symbol or alambana or pratikam, this pratikam word also I have used earlier for alambana, the symbol. That might vary, but the upasyam is one and the same Brahma. Therefore, whatever argument is given to prove that Gayatri is Brahman can be applied to show that Jyoti is also Brahman. This is the approach of Vyasacharya. With this background, now we have to read the first sutra. We have only done all this background. We have now go to the first sutra. The first sutra of the Sadhikaranam, what is it called? Jyotihi Charana Abhidhanath. The Gayatri Abhinnam Jyotihi, the Jyoti which is not different from Gayatri, the Jyoti which is non-different from the Gayatri, refers to Brahman alone, is the sutra, because of Charana Abhidhanath. Because of that reason. You have to see that. And because of the mention of four padas, Charanam means padas. Because of the mention of four padas in the previous section, 12th section, the universe being one padam, and beyond the universe being the other three padas, this is the general meaning of this sutra. Because of this reason, this Jyoti, this Brahma. Now we will see the word analysis now. We have two words in this sutra. One is Jyotihi, and the second word is Charanabhidhanath, one compound word. Now let us take the first word, Jyotihi. Jyoti means light, which is mentioned where? In section 13, mantra 7 or 3rd chapter of Chandogya. And which is not different from the Gayatri of the 12th section, previous section. So here, Gayatri Abhinnam Jyotihi, this is the paksha, the point of debate now. Then what is the conclusion? To arrive at the conclusion, we need to add a word to the sutra. That what is that word? Brahma. So Gayatri Abhinnam Jyotihi Brahma Bhavati. The conclusion is Jyoti is Brahman, and it is what Brahman? Sagunam Brahman or Ishwara, no Nirgunam Brahman. We are still in Upasana. Should be careful. Context is Upasana Prakaranam it is. Brahman is Maya Sahitam Brahman. It is otherwise called Ishwara. I have already told you, trust Brahman is Ishwara. But we will use the word Brahman only here. Acharya actually many times he uses the words like that. Brahman and Ishwara many times, you know, interchangeably. Then Charana Abhidhanath. The word Charana means what? Padaha or quarters. And in this context, it refers to the four quarters. Abhidhanath. Because of the statement of indication of four quarters. And now the question is going to be what? Where is the mention of four quarters? We see in the previous, we have, you know, you have now always jump between the sutra and the Vishaya Vakyam from the Shruti, namely Chandogya Vakyam. So we see it in the previous Gayatri Upasana and borrow the lingam, symbol, indicator, and apply it to our Jyoti Upasana to prove it is Brahma. Now a Purva Pakshi, he doesn't accept this conclusion. And he says, the word Jyoti cannot refer to Brahma Jyoti or Chetana Jyoti, but refer to only Achetana Jyoti only. The most famous light is what? Sunlight. He says Jyoti should be taken as Aditya Jyoti and not as Brahma Jyotihi. Surya Jyoti is what? Is Karya Jyoti and it is Achetana Jyoti. And he gives six arguments in support of his views. Purvapakshis are tough people, learned people also. He gives six arguments and we gave only three. And what are those now, six arguments? He says, prasiddhatvat. Whenever we use light, immediately we get the idea of some sunlight or moonlight or tube light perhaps. So that is the common meaning, prasiddhatvat, popular. Therefore, the popular meaning of Jyoti is what? Rudyartaha, Vachyartaha is what? Karya Jyoti only. No one in the world takes consciousness as the meaning for light. And the second reason gives is Deepyate iti vachanat. The Upanishad uses the word Deepyate. Deepyate means shining. Whenever we hear the word shining, what do we think of immediately? We think of something bright and shining to the eyes. No one thinks of shining consciousness. No one experiences the shining consciousness. If it were shining, we would not have required this local electric light at all. We are all shining, Swayam Prakashis. And third one is called Maryada Vashanat. Maryada here means boundary, limit, Seema. The Purvapakshi says, you read the mantra once again. It says what? Jyotihi paraha deepaha deepyate. Jyoti is shining beyond the heavens, in the higher lokas. Vishvataha prishteshu, sarvataha prishteshu, anuttameshu, uttameshu, lokeshu, divaha paraha. Paraha means it is beyond the heavens, in the higher lokas. And the word paraha means beyond. Beyond means beyond a boundary, not in this side of the boundary. It's outside the boundary. So if Jyotihi is Brahman, it cannot have a boundary. But Upanishad mentions what? Boundary. Therefore, Jyotihi must be something like Surya Jyoti only, which is high. Fourth reason he gives is Adhara Shravanat. The Upanishad talks about a location for this Jyoti, which is Vishvataha Prishteshu, Sarvataha Prishteshu, Anuttameshu, Uttameshu, Lokeshu, all that. So all the shoes, SHU ending, the seventh case endings, they indicate location. Adhare Saptam is called, which means the light is in the higher lokas. The very word in the higher lokas, indicates lokas. And that is not possible for Brahman. Since it is not located anywhere, it is all pervade. On the other hand, it is Vishwadharam. Brahman is Vishwadharam. And the fifth reason is, the Upanishad talks about the Jyoti Rupasana. It is in higher lokas. And that Jyoti can be meditated in the body, in the form of the very warmth of life. And Tejaha or Agnihi. It can also be felt. The Vaishwanara Agni, Jatara Agni we mentioned. If you close the ears, you can hear the sound and all that. Therefore, drishta rupena, shruta rupena, upasana muktam. You can see it or you can hear it in the form of the digestive fire or warmth of life. The jyoti can be experienced. Now the Purvapakshi says, if the warmth of the body, the agni tattvam, is taken as symbol, then the jyoti also must be some achetana agni prakasha only. Jyoti also must be taken as a similar tattvam as in the higher loka or heaven. Because always the upasana is in the sadrisham only. Sadrisham only, both should be similar. So some similarity should be there between the alambanam, the symbol, and the upasana, the object of upasana. That is why we find our deities also, for example, when we represent a destructive principle, then the image of the deity is also very bhayankara image, ferocious. So alambanam is ferocious when you do Kali Upasana, for example. But when we want to represent a constructive, beautiful, protective principle, the alambanam, the image will be also smiling, beautiful, gracious, all that. Therefore, alambanam and upasyam should have this similarity. In the same way, if the inner jyoti, the fire in the stomach, must be the alambanam. Jyotihi must be some Surya Jyoti only. Sun is also hot. Our stomach is also warm. Therefore, alambana samanyat. There is similarity between them. Alambanasya karya jyotishtvam. Therefore, upasya mapim karya jyotihi evam. Therefore, sharira jyotihi samanyat. Because of similarity, it should be also a karya jyoti only. And finally, sixth reason he gives is, the Upanishad talks of the phalam of this meditation of jyoti, which is drishta rupena upasana as the warmth experienced in the body, and shruta rupena upasana also as the sound heard from within the body. Close your ears and all that. And the Upanishad says, the phalam of the upasana is the upasaka also will become a darshana yogyaha and shravana yogyaha yata yata upaste. Tadeva Bhavati is the rule. Whatever is the upasana, the palam also will be according to that. He will become presentable person, handsome person. So darshanasya upasana, because of the drishti upasana of this, he will get a handsome personality, that person whomsoever it is. Saha api darshana yogyaha bhavati. Chakshusyam bhavati, he will become, people would like to, you know, see this, the very handsome person, whatever it is, or beautiful person. And not only that, one will become Shravana Yogyaha also. that person's name also will be famous, but also will be known everywhere. You talk of the town. Shrutaha bhavati, prasiddaha bhavati, vikyata bhavati, everywhere. All talk about this person only. So the beauty, the handsomeness and fame are the upasana palam. Now Purvapakshi says, this palam is what? I'm going to take only a couple of minutes. What is this palam? It is it parichinna palam or aparichinna palam? Beauty and fame are only finite results. And we know the general rule is what? Parichinna devata upasana will give parichinna palam and aparichinna ishwara upasana will give aparichinna palam. In the 9th chapter, Krishna said what? Yanti devavrata devan pitrun yanti pitruvrataha bhutani yanti bhudejyaha yanti madhyajinopimam. Meditators of finite devatas will get finite results, whereas meditators of the infinite me, Krishna says, will attain me, namely moksha. Therefore, the Purvapakshi argues, Ishwara upasana will give moksha, infinite or aparichinna palam, directly or indirectly, that is different, but anya devata upasana will give parichinna palam only. And here the palam of name and fame is only parichinna palam, limited palam. Therefore, jyoti also must be referring to parichinna, surya, karya jyoti, and similar to that. So, or nakshatra jyotihi, something like that. Therefore, jyotihi is only karya jyotihi, prasiddhatvatim, deepyate iti, shining. It is also popular. And then the deepyate iti vachanatim. And again, mariyadat, because of boundary and all. Adara sharvanat, all those reasons that we gave, 6 reasons. This is argument of whom? Purvapakshi. And now Shankaracharya takes all these arguments and establishes that all these arguments do not hold water. And therefore, Jyotihi is Brahman only. He is going to establish and he will refute all these 6 arguments that we will see in the next class, that is tomorrow. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasva maheshwarah Sri Krishna Arpanamastu. Purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate. Om shanti shanti shanti.